And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Come up on the show. The NBA officially weeks away. Houston's got more problems. We got the draft. Chris Paul might be on the move. And a contentious Christmas Day schedule prepare by us. I'm Zach Harper, the host of POC. Jade Hoy is producing. In this corner, the author of The Victory Machine, host of the House of Strauss podcast, the one, the only Ethan Strauss. Ethan, who is your biggest sleeper in this year's NBA draft?
Killian Hayes, baby. That's Why? The name.
Why?
I don't know. I kind of like him.
Okay, really there we go.
There you go.
And in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, please give us a quick review of the Netflix series, The Queen's Gambit.
Anya Taylor-Joy is incredible as the orphan, addict, genius chess player who's trying to get her life together and take down Russia, all with the move of a pawn.
Marcus, some would say that she is a her last names to watch.
Yo, I was like, what's her last name? Taylor. She's a Taylor Joy to watch. I'm sorry.
My bad. That joke was tailor made for that show. All right, Jay, start the clock. Oh. Take one. The NBA's back officially, coming to a living room near you. The NBA and the National Basketball Players Association announced Monday night they've struck a deal on rules for this upcoming season. Here are the rough details. 72-game season with free agency opening on November 20th. Players are able to sign contracts on November 22nd. Training camps December 1st. Games begin on December 22nd, just in time for Christmas. A whole lot of financials that seem to have been worked out. And the NBA is also establishing protocol for fans to attend NBA games this season. According to the Athletic's Shams Charania, the league's plan includes testing options, food, and proximity restrictions for fans attending games in certain cities. So, Marcus, let me start with you. That's a lot to deal with right there. It's a lot to digest. But let's just start off with this. Was the offseason too short for these guys to be returning now?
I'm not listening to complaints about the offseason being too short. I'm not doing it. I don't have the bandwidth to consider that LeBron just got finished playing and he's got to start playing again. While I will grant that that's shorter than normal, where is my offseason? Where do I get to have a break? I have to do my job, be a middle school teacher because the schools are still closed. I have to manage an entire household. So, yeah, no, the American people don't get a break. You know, the average worker don't get a break. So, no, I'm sorry. I will not shed tears for the fact that in 3 weeks after the end of the finals, these dudes have to play again. Is it rough? Yeah, but it's rougher for us, buddy.
Now, Ethan, can you find a way to work the troops into that to get a bigger soapbox?
Ooh, yeah. Considering all they're doing on Veterans Day, which I think Jade told me is Military Appreciation Day. Well, whatever it is, these men have made immense sacrifices and did not get paid hundreds of millions of dollars, folks. So therefore, we really can't have sympathy for anybody doing anything other than them. I think that's
ever in the history of sympathy, only them.
No, can't happen. There is a finite amount and we spent it. So what are you going to do? But to be somewhat serious, look, it's a quick turnaround. I understand the complaints. To me, it's more just strange. It's so strange to think the NBA season wrapped up in the middle of football season. The NBA season is coming back in the middle of football season. It's very hard. It's this Rubik's Cube that broke inside my brain because I kept going, well, that's got to be the 2021 football season. No, wait, it's 2020. But it somehow works out. It somehow lines up. Look, I think it's good that the NBA is keeping Christmas. They need it. They need to get back on schedule. It's a little uncomfortable, but it's how it has to be.
And, you know, look at it this way, you champions of basketball. You are making a sacrifice for the greater good because, look, everybody is not tired. There were, what, 8 teams that have been chilling since March and can't wait to get it together. So see this as a degree of difficulty added to your championship pursuit, which means if you pull this off, man, how hard will you get to brag that you won a championship with only 3 weeks rest?
And also, you won 2 COVID championships, right?
Yeah,
that's got to be equal to like 5 regular championships.
When Marcus said you champions of basketball, I definitely got Cider House Rules vibes with Michael Caine.
I thought he was talking to us.
Yeah,
I was totally talking to us.
Kings of New England.
I was referring to us. We are the champions.
But what do we do about this, though, Ethan? Not the fact that we should cry for, like, the Lakers and the Heat and stuff, but the fact that you have to jam so much offseason and so many, you know, quick decisions into such a short amount of time for, you know, personnel moves.
It's not fun for them. It's not fun for the basketball ops people. I don't think it's enjoyable. Maybe they
we're
going to
cry for the basketball ops after we tell the players to suck it up? Is that what we're doing?
I love my basketball ops people.
I heard the violin playing when you started talking. It sounded like the tears were coming.
I love my basketball ops people, but they are the most miserable people on the planet. So it almost doesn't matter what you throw at them.
This is good for them then. They get to remain miserable.
Yeah, they get to remain miserable. They get to be overworked, underappreciated, and it gives us content, folks. We need the content. We can't get blood from a stone waiting until springtime. We need this show to get back on the road so we can start churning out these articles and these podcasts that you all love so much. So, hey, everybody's just got to suck it up. It's how it has to be. It's not ideal. It's suboptimal.
This is even – look, I'm being like facetious about the players, right? But seriously about these front office people. How long do you actually need? Like, what are you doing in between? What have you been doing for a year? How are you not ready for this? If you're not ready, you won't be ready. And the truth is, offseason is really like a month anyway. July 1, everything starts. Shams goes to work. Woj goes to work. By August, we're done here, right? By August, everything is figured out. So they don't need 4 months to do this. Do it. It all happens in a month span anyway. So what are we talking
difficulty,
about here?
If you want difficulty, try running a hair salon. You know, like that's try that. This isn't the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, try being a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Try being a nurse.
Try being a teacher.
Try doing something harder than the thing you're doing.
you know how difficult it is to get kids to turn on their video when you're teaching a class in Zoom and they don't want you to know that they're still in the bed. Like that's difficulty.
Speaking of difficult kids, take 2. Houston, we got a few more problems. According to an ESPN report and anonymous sources, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are concerned about the direction of the Rockets team. I guess they're kind of just figuring this out now, considering we've known this for a while. My favorite part of that report was that they're concerned that their championship window is closing. Buddies, it's been closed. Hate to break it to you, but this comes just days after introducing new coach Steven Silas, in which both stars were consulted and on board with the decision. Although neither player has requested a trade at this point, that scenario has become a plausible eventual possibility, according to that report. But according to Kendrick Perkins on, I believe, The Jump today, Harden hasn't answered the phone from ownership, front office, or even Coach Silas in weeks. He and Westbrook don't feel like they're a part of the process. Reports out there also have named the Clippers and the Knicks as possible landing spots for Russ. Ethan, is this a power play to get Tillman to bring in more talent? Or is this lighting the wick of an eventual blow up? Is James Harden flicking the cigarette and walking away?
Well, it's always interesting that the cigarette is the move because that stays lit. I don't like it in movies when they throw the lighter at the gasoline and it just explodes into fire behind them. Anybody who's ever experienced a lighter knows that thing would extinguish before it hits the gasoline. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The cigarette, yes. I appreciate the reports. I appreciate the diligence, but it does sound to me almost like You're envisioning the Titanic half in the water, and you're getting a report that passengers are concerned with the direction that this is all going. I mean, look at the Rockets. Look at their salaries. Look at the talent they have. They're in a bad spot. It's not going well. And so I'm not even sure if there is a power play, that there's something to be done. They're in a tough situation. You've got Tillman Fertitta leaking money every which way. I just don't see a lot of positivity. Congrats to them if they can unsink the ship, but they're just in a bad spot regardless of what moves are being made. I think the real thing to look out for is Harden going to try to forge a way out of there? Because that does seem plausible in the near-term future.
Now, I'm no nautical expert. I don't think you can unsink a ship. I don't think that's a thing.
Not with that attitude.
But Marcus, may I recklessly throw a trade at you?
Absolutely. I'll catch it too.
A three-team deal.
James Harden. I know where you're going. Let's go, Zach.
Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons to the Golden State Warriors. And Andrew Wiggins and the number two pick to Houston. How about that? What's that for an idea? Where could James Harden end up?
I'm all on board for that. It sounds like just if we're believing Kendrick Perkins, which I am, you know, it sounds like Maury was the one holding that thing together. Like, as soon as he's out, Harden is like, yo, I'm not talking to this Tillman dude. Like, this is just not happening. And if that's the case, it really underscores the relationship that we mocked between Harden and Daryl Morey. You know, newspaper love notes aside, they probably actually do have a connection, which means, yo, it would make perfect sense for him to end up in Philly. And yes, I'm saying that because I wrote earlier that Ben Simmons, you know, to the Warriors is something that they would be interested in, and for it to come true would make me look like a genius. So yes, I'm rooting for this, but it does make sense for Harden to end up in Philadelphia, because if you're James Harden, you're thinking there is one dude in this league who thinks I should get the ball, dribble 87 times to take a step back three in his great basketball. And that dude is Daryl Morey. So why would he want to part from that guy? Also, I have a problem with them. How you gonna introduce Steven Silas, a brother, to the coaching process like this? Come on, man. Like, help the brother out. At least give him a phone call, holler at him or something. This dude waited 20 years to get a job, and the first thing y'all do is dip when he come around? Come on, man. Black coaches matter.
Ethan, rebuttal to that?
I was just waiting for the Jade Cricket sound effect after that. I was also getting distracted thinking about would James Harden fear what would happen to his brand overseas vis-a-vis China if he went back on the Daryl Morey wagon? And then I couldn't work it out after what Marcus said. And then I was thinking about, wait a second, should the Warriors really get Ben Simmons, or should they keep this pick? Marcus and everybody else has talked me into James Wiseman. I was never on the Wiseman wagon, but now they talked me into it. Now I'm interested. Now I think he could be the next, I don't know, Joel Embiid. I want to see it happen. I'm not so sold on Ben Simmons. These are the thoughts that were rattling around my head.
All right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of space.
Ethan, will James Harden be a Houston Rocket in 2021?
Ooh. Do I have till the end of the year? Like, does the deal go away at 2022?
I need a deal is, he's either a Rocket for life or he's out of there in 2021.
No!
Wow. Wow. I cannot believe that. That, what a shakeup. And if that three-team deal goes through.
I like your acting as though I made it so.
I mean, you just determined the fate. What do you want me to do?
It's official, yeah.
Yeah. You had an opportunity to say no, Rocket for life. And once again, Ethan dismisses Rockets fans and their feelings. A yearly tradition. Just so what a despicable display of hatred and disrespect.
My name's not reality.
What a cold, cold draft.
There's only one way to reverse the Ethan's proclamation, listeners. It is to subscribe to The Athletic in droves. Mm-hmm. Like, change his mind. Yeah. with
exactly change his mind that way. And maybe
Strauss
while you're there,
Thomas is powerful, and yeah, he does refer to himself in the third person.
Yeah, that's not the douchiest thing you've ever done on this podcast, for sure. And while you're at the Athletic, check out Big Boards. And speaking of Big Boards, take three, get your Big Boards out, fellas. Let's comb through one of the most confusing drafts in recent history, LaMelo Ball. The favorite in many early mock drafts is still atop the list with James Wiseman and Anthony Edwards going 2 and 3. And I want to focus on the Warriors since both of you covered them. Ethan, with just 1 week to go, in your best assessment, and I know there's a lot of moving parts, is there any chance the Warriors keep this pick or do they trade it away?
I think there's a great chance they keep the pick because there are only so many suitors for a high pick in this draft. And if it's not valued, then maybe you're zigging when other people are zagging or whatever you want to call it. The pick that's valued is probably the Timberwolves pick for next season, just because there are so many theoretical superstar wings in waiting. So I think the Warriors' move should be grit your teeth, make this pick, hope it works out, and then perhaps trade the highly valued 2021 pick while no bloom has come off the rose of any of these talented athletic wings that everybody thinks is going to be the next superstar, and get back on that timeline and find some veteran help that way. I think the Warriors are well positioned to draft for need, and I could easily see them doing a draft pick because Joe Lacob loves draft picks.
Marcus, do you see a scenario in which LaMelo Ball, who has been highly touted over the last couple of days as the number one guy or maybe even the most talented player in the draft, slipping out of that top three? Maybe there's a lot of smoke screens and cold feet when it comes to LaMelo.
Yeah, oh, no question. I think he could slip out. I think all three of these guys could slip out. Like, there's enough concern with each of them. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody low-key loves Obi Toppin and just been, like, holding it in like a seventh grade crush. You know what I'm saying? I do feel
he's sneaky.
Yeah, I do feel like
sneaky Toppin.
It wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if somebody said, we did it. We pulled it off. We let y'all think all these other guys were good. It can happen. The interesting part for me is if somebody jumps up to number one and takes Wiseman. That for me is the, it's not a monkey wrench or, you know, it just changes things a bit because a lot of the people, you know, are kind of, there's a lot of teams hoping Wiseman falls. And if he's off the board, he's one or two on a lot of boards, it feels like. So if he's off the board off the bat, what do the Warriors do? I think they go Melo.
I think if you're Excel, you just can't let that happen. You can't let that happen. If you're Excel and you know you have a promise from the Warriors that they're taking Wiseman, you got to sandbag. You got to tell if it's the Hornets or it's one of those lottery tier teams trading up, you got to say, look, he's going to come up with some sort of I don't want to be there itis, and it's not going to be worth it for you guys. So you're going to have to stay away. I think that is the power move on the agency front. If that
you
got
to get a
no,
crowd of people to show up at the draft and start chanting, stop the count.
Stop the trade, stop the swap. Yeah, you gotta throw your bodies in front of it. I think that might be how it all goes, because that is, we don't talk about that sometimes, but things happen that way. I think it happened with Porzingis. I think it happened when the Sixers, when they were so bad, were trying to draft certain guys. These things happen, so I would keep an eye out for that. Can we talk about Toppin? Toppin does seem like a guy where if he just comes out and he's great and he's putting up numbers, everybody's going to be kicking themselves, because the way he distinguishes himself among these guys who could get picked high up in that top five range is that he was really good last year. I mean, we don't talk about that enough. This is a potential draft, an imagine this guy will do such and such draft. The only guy, I think, who actually put up ridiculous numbers and was just, you know, fantastic. I mean, maybe Wiseman would have done it, but he only had one game against a real college team. And then other guys had varying degrees of success, but not that efficient. You know, LaMelo, 48, 49 true shooting in Australia. Not great efficiency for Edwards. Toppin, I mean, maybe not ideal, maybe not prototypical, but he just got the job done again and again and again. So that's, yeah, I like Marcus's theory that somebody secretly has a crush on Toppin and might take him above what the prognostications are.
And to be fair, he's 30 years old.
A young 30.
But that's what people are going to want. They want somebody thing. Walking people in might, and play. But, yeah.
Oh, he'll be like, there's no doubt in my mind he'll be Rookie of the Year and the one that everyone's like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't draft him. And then within like 3 years, we're drooling over somebody else from that class.
Probably. But I do look, I look at this through the Warriors prism. There are picks that get me interested and make me think, oh, that could be cool. He is in that range where if he is doing the dribble handoffs with Steph and Clay, with his ability to pop and his ability to roll and rim run, I mean, that's pretty cool. I think that that could be a really nice addition to the offense.
Defensively, I think Isaac Okoro, too. Isaac Okoro, my defensive gem, like the sneaky guy who could pop up. Two seems very high, but... In a wing craving draft, yeah. If they trade down, Isaac Okoro is the guy who I think, just because he's an athletic defensive wing, his shot's a little funky, but you know everybody thinks they can work on somebody's shot and get better. So he's a guy that you know you just he just keeps flying under the radar, and I'm sneaky about those guys. Like, yo, what are you guys doing? You keep hearing Tyrese Haller. Everybody wants Tyrese Haller, but nobody wants Isaac Okoro. It seems like. That for me is a red flag.
Trying to figure out
people are plotting on him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, guys. It's time for take four. Speaking of losing things, Chris Paul to the Suns. Will he be traded from the Thunder? Rumors have finally surfaced that the Suns and the Thunder are engaged in trade talks for Chris Paul. This being revealed the same day the Thunder promoted assistant Mark Daigneault to be head coach. I think I said that correctly. According to ESPN, talks have been ongoing and have continued to gather traction, but there's no deal imminent. So, Ethan, how do you feel about a veteran like Chris Paul and those young gun Valley Boys Suns in Phoenix?
Valley Boys. That's funny.
That's what they call themselves, yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't see it turning out great. Maybe the ceiling on it is much like the Thunder season before it. Perhaps it would only be acceptable to Chris Paul as a scratch golfer that he would get to play golf in Phoenix, because otherwise it seems like he's spinning his wheels. It seems like Chris Paul needs a championship. He's not going to get a championship in Phoenix. So on that part of it, I mean, maybe good for the Suns, but not great for Chris Paul. Not the most ideal fit, but then again, nothing is in the Valley of the Sun with that basketball team.
Wow. That's very negative.
I know, right? Hater. I don't know that he needs a championship. I think he wants one, but I do think there's a part of Chris Paul who's looking around like, I mean, do I have to go to the Lakers to do it? Or, you know, there's how many teams can he go to that actually has a championship shot? I don't know who that is. And I do think playing with Oklahoma City, like, made him younger. Like, it made him look younger. He was the orbit of that team. And I don't think it's all championship or bust. I could totally see Chris Paul going to the Suns and being revered as the truest point guard of all by taking that team to heights it had never been. That it's not a championship, but I do think that shows who Chris Paul is. That would be a great feather in the cap of a career of the dude who we all consider probably the greatest true point guard of the generation. And, yeah, I mean, I guess he could go to Milwaukee, right? Like, or Philly, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to put him with a young team and be a leader and really kind of pull the strings on that. I think Chris Paul would like that.
Here's what I would say about that, Ethan, is that it's good to see the Suns not overestimating what happened in the bubble. Because I think you could be the Suns and look at that and be like, hey, we went 8-0 in the bubble. We're fixed. But if you're really looking at the Suns, you're like, yeah, but what about that 26-39 before the bubble? Right? And you're not going to be in those extreme circumstances once again. But so yeah, how do you fix that?
This is Sarver thinking that Chris Paul puts him over the top for a championship? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what their perspective is.
An excellent rebuttal, and I do not have an answer to anything Robert Sarver might be thinking. It could be anything at any time, and you could be right on that one. But at least it shows me they're serious about trying to jump up the competition level within that organization.
Yeah. I think it's good for the Suns, potentially. For Chris Paul, on the Chris Paul side of things, it just seems suboptimal.
Will they make the playoffs if they trade for Chris Paul?
Book it.
No,
book
I'm gonna side. Book it. I'm gonna side with Amin. I think Amin has brainwashed me. Nothing good could come from there. Nothing good.
Wow, Marcus, you're saying book it.
Who's Devin Booker? Portland was it? Yeah, I mean, Devin.
Portland, yeah.
Here's what we can say from the bubble. Devin Booker gained even more confidence, and I didn't think there was room above where he was, right? Like, he walks out of that bubble like, yo, I'm one of the best players in the league. Like, this is not questionable. And yeah, that's a scary thought. You put him next to a player who can, you know, kind of take the pressure off him, take the ball out of his hand so much. Devin Booker is on his way up. I do believe that. I think he's good enough with some help to get a team to the playoffs. I mean, like, is he better than Damian Lillard right now? Because, you know,
Booker? Wow, are back, everybody. Takes are back.
No. Devin Booker is not better than Damian Lillard.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe in a couple of years, not right now.
But Marcus is doing the okay next year. He's projecting it forward, and I respect that take. He's not stuck in the past.
I mean, we've watched Damian Lillard carry a team to the Western Conference Finals, right? We've seen that.
Right.
So we know a player who's great can do that. I just think Devin Booker is good enough to take a team to the playoffs if he's got a guy like Chris Paul with him, right? Like, if he's got
– Oh, that's not him taking it to the playoffs. That's Chris Paul holding his hands and here, let me show you the way.
Chris Paul ain't doing that no more, right? Chris Paul is not like – Chris Paul is going to be the –
He just did it to Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
He did.
Yeah. He literally just did it.
We're going to credit Booker. We're going to credit Booker.
Okay. All right.
Why are you killing my point? Dang it. They did make – Chris Paul did take the third to the world.
It was hard for Marcus to say that about Damian Lillard. You know?
Say
you
what about Damian Lillard? What did I say about Damian Lillard?
You said he's washed. Devin Booker's better than him.
I did not ask. I didn't say.
Marcus Thompson, direct quote, # wash Dame time.
Yeah, wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Trying to cost Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard is the model of the player who carries his team. That's what I'm thinking. But you're right. If he gets Chris Paul, is it really him carrying the team?
Yeah, who's carrying? Who's carrying?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
All right, it's time for Take 5. Merry Christmas, everybody, or Happy Holidays, or whatever you want to say, whatever's safest. Now that we know the NBA is coming back on December 22nd, that means we know that the schedule for Christmas Day will be full of 5 NBA games. So, five games, 5 points of contention. I want these games to be packed like sardines of contention. So right now, can you beat a Warriors-Nets Christmas Day matchup, Marcus?
There's no beating that. From a contention perspective, what? That's David Stern would be somewhere smiling at this, because this is what David Stern did, right? Like, find the biggest drama and match it up on Christmas Day with the Shaq and Kobe stuff. So this is the legacy of Stern right here. Warriors Nets. The only problem is the 3,000 miles between them and the travel that would be necessary. But you put Kyrie, Kevin Durant, both have relationships with the Warriors. And then you got Steph Clay and Draymond back together. Yes, this, you're not topping that at all. But it probably won't happen because it's a cross-country flight.
Oh.
They can't they can pull off a bubble, but they can't pull off a cross-country flight for the Christmas Day game, the centerpiece of the regular season. I mean, that's – look, I maybe you just have to be deferential.
Well, they meet halfway in, like, Kansas City or something and play it there.
Ooh, I like it. Ooh. I like it. I yeah. like that. I Don't like that idea. I like how you're thinking, because I agree.
Yeah, we're the home of the Raptors, Kansas City.
Look.
Home of the Raptors.
Big facts.
Warriors. Wow. Yeah. Warriors, Lakers, a little – I mean, look, people will watch because those are two big teams, and LeBron, Steph, yes, but a little juiceless compared to Warriors-Nets. Warriors-Nets, I just think, has more, and there's more intrigue, and you haven't seen either team for a while, at least with those principles on them. So I would prefer that. Plus, you get to spend that Laker game somewhere else where people will watch because it's the Lakers. The Nets, I just don't think have that curiosity factor going up against another team. The Warriors versus the Nets, I think that should be the Christmas Day game. I hope it is, even though everybody is saying it's going to be Lakers-Warriors. I do think it's better. I think the NBA should theoretically be able to pull off a cross-country flight. But then again, Adam Silver pulled off the bubble without any cases, and I don't think he's going to listen to me on what he should do.
That may be player cases. There are some cases in the bubble, cases. Yeah, that's a good point. What about if we get a Rockets-Sixers matchup, huh? James Harden goes back to play the Rockets. Sorry, was that a spoiler alert?
With James Harden on the Sixers.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Only if Westbrook is still with the Rockets, then that'd be good. Otherwise, it's going to be like James Harden like going one.
Oh, man, James Harden and Joel Embiid against Russell Westbrook? Russ hates Embiid.
I just want to see a lot of camera shots of Daryl Morey watching it, and then we'll see on Twitter that they blurgled it out in China.
He's just going to look like that gif of DJ Academics where I think Quavo had talked shit to him. Like, I think that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah. He's going to look like a marijuana leaf. He's going to look like a marijuana leaf hat in a 1990s rap video.
Just trying to figure out who he's allowed to root for in that game. What's the spiciest Lakers matchup? We have to do Lakers Clippers since one
like, gotta be
makes sense at home.
Gotta
be,
oh, gotta and rubbing right. their noses in it somehow. Yeah. The Lakers have to be. I mean,
we get in Denver, Utah for a Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell matchup, or is that not good enough?
I think that's a good one. I mean, those two teams, it's not like
that's definitely the 5:30 TNT game, right? Like that's
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good game, but people aren't going to really be tuning in for those teams other than their fan bases. So
and we have to get Zion.
So we just go keep disrespecting Jimmy Butler. He doesn't get a Christmas Day game. The Miami Heat don't get a Christmas Day foe.
I mean, Miami would be ideal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be good. That'd be really good. That'd be fantastic.
All kinds of B-roll of how sunny it is outside on Christmas Day versus B-roll of what's going on in Milwaukee.
The memes of Giannis staring outside would be incredible. They were going to let the memes of Giannis in Miami on a Christmas Day game would be epic. I would trust the internet to entertain me.
I still love the idea of Bulls Knicks on Christmas Day and they just watch a game from the 90s.
Watch the one where Trent Tucker hits the three with 0.1 seconds left.
Oh, what a great game. Yeah. That's great game.
They should all watch.
Yeah. How do you get Zion involved? Does he just get to go wherever?
Maybe, should it be Grizzlies, Pelicans? As a little,
that's two very small markets.
very small markets, but I mean, I don't know how you can find the storyline. It's all about storylines, you know?
That's
it's
true.
All about storylines. I can't find a Zion. I mean, there's nothing he connects to.
Zion versus LaMelo Ball? Didn't they put one of those games on Facebook once? We get a rematch of that. I think Ball is Life had a Facebook game of those two in high school that went that did like hundreds of thousands of views.
I guess it depends. Where's LaMelo falling?
Pelicans, T Wolves.
Oh, don't you put that evil on the Timberwolves? Don't you do it.
Pelicans, T Wolves. There we go. D'Lo.
Some people think it's going to happen like that.
Oh God! What a terrible idea that is. I even think LaMelo's going to be all right, but what a terrible idea that is. Massive mistake.
Man, D'Lo could teach.
Man, nobody cares about the Celtics. Man, look at us. Nobody cares.
There you go, right there. Celtics Heat. Is that better than
Zion
Celtics?
Versus Celtics? You get the Celtics fan base.
We might have to cut bait on Zion. We might have to like check back.
Zion's washed already.
Either cut weight or cut bait. That's what they say.
Cut weight or cut bait. Yeah. Like, we got to see if you're healthy. Wow. We got to, you know, like, we're flexing you. We're seeing how you're showing up to training camp, and we're going to make the decision based on that. And that's what we're dangling in front of the Pelicans organization. You know, we're going to make the call. We're going to make the call based on how he looks. And if he looks great, then you keep your Christmas Day game. If not, then we got better options.
Yeah, we might just be over the Zion thing at this point. You know the same. Beignet done that.
Come on.
No? That wasn't
good?
We already watched Zion?
Nah.
Yeah, we're done with them. All right.
Come on.
That's going to do it for Point of Contention. I do want to remind you, it's just surging right now, the COVID. Please stop. Please stop doing all the stuff we're doing. It's surging. It's surging. And we're hopefully going to have some new guidelines pretty soon.
I've been inside so long, I'm light-skinned. What you mean?
Ethan, rebuttal to that?
Serge Ibaka? What are the other puns? What can you come up with here? Wait, come on.
Anybody remember the Sacramento Surge, which I think was a USFL team at some point, football team?
What about us that Steve Young didn't play for?
Yeah, I think
I don't know why. Robert Covington just came to my head.
All right, that's gonna do it. Thanks for subscribing to The Athletic, and make sure you rate and review and subscribe to this podcast.